Amen. So, the last verse, verse 34, says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So he was explaining to them that you, that, listen, I want to tie from what we read in verse in Matthew chapter 6. He said, "Make yourselves purses that do not wear out." No, let me get one line back. "Sell your possessions and give to charity. Thereby, what you are doing is that you are making for yourself purses that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys." Now, we've read that again in Matthew chapter 6. Now, one thing, there are two portions of the scriptures I want to read. Or shall I pass my comment before I read them? I think I should. All right. Now, what we are saying here is that treasure, now, let me first explain one word. In heaven, that is that word in heaven. We are discussing treasure in heaven. That is, you can lay up treasure in heaven. And Jesus was warning that you must not lay up treasure on the earth because they can get destroyed and thieves can break in and steal. First thing I want to explain in that portion is that word in heaven. I think if you've been coming here for some time, we've shared about it. That is, in heaven does not mean that it is there for the time you will have died. Let's get that clear. If you read 1 Peter, he explained that you have an inheritance that was laid up for you in heaven. That just means that it was kept in heaven. It does not mean that it's only for those who have died. Are you getting my point? Now, that's not what it means. In fact, there's a joke. That's why you saw me smile. I remember the joke told by my pastor when I was in Lagos. He said, some people used to preach in Sunday school, tell children that when you get to heaven, there's no never failure. Water is always flowing. Just trying to impress kids about the beauty of heaven. So after they talked, the kids had this beautiful idea about what where heaven is, but superimposed upon what they knew about the earth, which was Nigeria. So say one day, their father packed all of them, went for a holiday abroad, and then they went to the US or something. And then day one, never didn't take light. All the roads were very good. So the kids are looking. Day two, water kept on running. The tap never stopped once. Then they now remember that their father had taught them. They had taught them that before you go to heaven, you will die. You know? So they went and met their father that, please, when did we die? Seeing that we are currently in heaven, that when was it that we died? I mean, you don't blame the kids. I don't know whether it really happened, but I heard a joke when I was in Lagos. Now, but you see, heaven in the Bible, that's not what he's saying. When you say something is in heaven, what he's saying is simple. In fact, there is one psalm, I noticed it and I wrote it down, Psalm 73, verse 25. It will point out something to explain this issue of heaven for us. Psalm 73. Verse 25. There's just one point there. David was saying something about God and heaven. Who do I have in heaven but you? He said, let's see. "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And besides thee, I desire nothing on earth." Now notice that. He's connecting two things here. He didn't say that I have you in heaven and so I desire nothing on the earth. He's saying that I have you in heaven and besides thee, on this earth, too, I desire nothing. Meaning that your presence in heaven affects my situation on the earth. Are you tying what I'm saying? Listen. He said, who do I have in heaven? He now said, besides thee, I desire nothing on the earth. That though you reside in the heavens, your effect is felt on the earth. So even on this earth, I am content with having you where? In heaven. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, so you find out that when you talk about heaven, what he's saying is that it does not mean that you have died. Oh, say, bless this brother, he has gone to go and meet his inheritance. You that have not died on this earth, your inheritance is still reachable. Do you get my point? You can still use it on this earth. But when he uses the word heaven, what he's saying is the words of Jesus. The important thing you need to note is that moths can't destroy, rust does not get in, and thieves cannot break in and steal. No matter what you have laid up on the earth, there is no security enough that can keep it. Look, Tell me how you want to hide money on this earth. There are two ways. Let me tell you something about money. In fact, let me just... There are so many things we have to say about this treasure in heaven. There are two ways, like I explained to you, where treasure in heaven preserves the life of... it has effect. One, it preserves treasure on the earth, and it preserves the life of the owner. You know, until I even read that scripture and linked it, before I even read it and linked it, I had understood it. And I understood it when, I think, if you've heard, I've taught along this line again. I've told this story before. The late M.K. Wabiola, which every Nigerian knows. In fact, I found out today is June 12th, today is the anniversary of the annulment of June 12th. June 12th now is not a date for us anymore. It's an entity, it's a philosophy, it's a memory, it's a history. June 12th, okay? Now, for those who don't know it, you never can tell when they are listening to this tape. In case you don't know, that was when Nigerians voted overwhelmingly in every corner of the country for M.K. Wabiola to become president. That was 1990 what? Three. Okay. I was a youth copper then. And the then head of state, General Ibrahim Babangida, just annulled it. Wow. 15-minute broadcast. He said the election was over. And it caused a lot of crisis that finally led up to us to where we are today. All right? I'm sure in Lagos, if today was a working day, Lagos would declare a public holiday. Anyway, M.K. Wabiola was a very, very rich man. That's the point I want to come to. And one day he appeared on a program, where he featured on a radio program in Ibadan. And now, this man was known for being generous. Listen, we'll talk about that. The man was generous. Money is a very powerful thing. Ed Cole said, money is the closest you can have to omnipotence. That the only person greater than the man that has plenty of money is God. Are you getting my point? You know, he said that you can buy the souls of men for physical money. I listened to this from Ed Cole long ago. Money is very, very important. Now, this man used money in a great dimension, M.K. Wabiola. He had it. He personally had this thing against poverty. He was known for being extremely generous. Now, M.K. Wabiola, that's the way he was. Now, because of the generosity, which was everywhere, that's why they voted for him everywhere. Because there was no corner of Nigeria where they didn't taste it. He collected over 200 chief tasting titles from every corner of the country. Even the ones that people thought were not touchable. He collected it first. There was one in Kano. Later on, they made some noise and retrieved it. Now, this is what I want to get to. So somebody called into the program and prayed for him. There is an entity in the Yoruba culture that is called, let me give you the word in Yoruba, Agbano. What it means, really, let me describe what it does, is that it's supposed to be like a spirit, okay? So let me tell you what the man said first. So the man prayed that, may this spirit not enter into your wealth. Do you get my point? Now, what that means really is that if a man is rich and Agbano enters his money, it's supposed to be a spiritual force that wrecks the guy. Let me just summarize like that. That is, now the guy has a billion naira today. Then suddenly, one factory he has somewhere catches fire. Do you get my point? Then maybe his car knocks somebody down and then there's no insurance on the car and now he has to pay a heavy claim. Now, things just keep on happening that starts dwindling the money very fast. All kinds of troubles come from every angle. Shortly after, you see the man is broke. Then the thing will leave him. All the troubles will vanish because he's broke. The moment he makes money, the thing returns. It's actually a spiritual force. So the person prayed that may that spirit not enter into your money. You know what? I didn't hear that. I heard the story. So they said, M.K. Wabiola answered and said, let it come. That it will eat and eat and eat. It will get tired and go away. That the amount of money he has, that Agbano will be frustrated trying to finish it. Now, I heard it, such things I don't repeat because I felt that, I mean, Kuli have said it, maybe in one of those kind of gist that you hear, like things like Bakinzuo gist, all those kind of things. So one day in Luz, I was discussing, then one of my colleagues, is also a doctor in Luz there, he said, it's not gist, I heard the broadcast. That was the time I really believed it. And I said, this man doesn't understand. That if God doesn't take your money from you, he will take you from your money. You know, I never even noticed that in this scripture. You know, I didn't link it. It's just while preparing for today's teaching that I finally linked it from that scripture. I said, this man doesn't understand spiritual things. That there are two ways this thing will work. If he can't take money from you, it takes you from your money. I just thought about it and we discussed it. I said, this man made a mistake making that statement. You and I know what happened. Abacha took him and put him in a cooler in Abuja. Abacha. It was Abacha that arrested him, not Babangida. Babangida had gone. He was abroad for some time. Then he came back. They declared himself president. Abacha grabbed him, put him in the jail. And there was one man, I don't want to mention his name, a big politician in Lagos. None of these big boys. He said he went to see Abacha and explained, please just let this man go. Abacha told him to go and tell MK Abiola that I will not release you, that you have enough money to destabilize my government. That was Abacha. This is authentic gist. That the man said should tell Abiola to forget coming out of that jail. Because the guy understood the amount of wealth that MK Abiola controlled. He said, you leave jail and destabilize my government, forget it. Are you getting my point? What Jesus says here, they are very practical things. It's not just of something somewhere that happened to somebody we don't know about. They happen really. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Okay. Now, so, I just wanted to understand, why was I even telling that story? Anyway, I was talking about heaven. So, now, when you talk about treasure in heaven, there are two things he does. You see, Solomon will keep on speaking. For a man to labor, eat and drink, and rejoice in the work of his hands, he says it's a gift of God. The reason is that if you don't have treasure, now that's what I want to get to. Treasure in heaven is the reason why you can eat and rejoice in the labor of your hands. Listen, on the earth, everything on this earth can pass away. Did you hear me? Everything on this earth can pass away. I was saying something at the beginning, talking about balance. Now, I said, Ed Cole said balance is the key to life. In recent times, God has been enlightening Christians, I believe. And they are beginning to learn that you should invest. You should make money. You should do business. You should occupy till he comes. You know, stuff like that. And then a lot of those things seem to conflict with some principles of the law that Jesus taught. Talking about not laying up treasure on the earth. We are going to examine all these things in the coming weeks. Because it's important we understand that there is a balance to it. One day we are going to talk about what we call the vow of poverty. It's important we understand the meaning of the vow of poverty. Every Christian that wants to go anywhere, live long in this life, had better take it. I don't know what I mean, because if I start on that, I won't get back to what I'm saying. Just remind me that I said I'll talk about vow of poverty another time. But you see, treasure in heaven and so things on the earth can pass away. So when Christians start learning about stock market and all that, no matter what it is that you invest in on this earth, it can go like this. That is, you are not even killed. Your life is not taken. You are not put in jail. But all your investment vanish like this. It won't be the first time. It has happened again and again and again. Do you get my point? Now, it has happened again and again on this earth. All right? That people invest money and lay up wealth and the thing will vanish away. That's why the Bible said that when riches, David was explaining, increases, said don't set your mind on it, because wealth can grow wings and fly away. It always happens. Don't fool yourself that it cannot happen. Do you get my point? There is no security in buying stocks. Listen to me. In fact, that one is in Asia, it collapsed. In America, not too long ago, we had the minor one that affected a part of the economy. Where during these tech stocks, they collapsed. It happened. But you've heard of the Great Depression that happened in the U.S. It's all this buying of stock. Anything on earth you invest money in can die. No matter how great the money is. If nothing else will happen, the whole country will sink in an earthquake. And that's it. You'll be somewhere else. And then the country where you went to hide your money, what happens to it? It has gone down in a tornado, an earthquake. All the money you hid in safe havens, that's the end of it. Or one government will wake up one day. And you don't know the power of the king. You don't know the power of the king. That's why God always teaches you to be afraid of the wrath of the king. That is, after you've invested $1 billion, even a free nation like America, one president will come and say, no money leaves this country again. And say, no Nigerian gets a visa. That's it. You are here, you are broke, you are dying, you can't even pay for chloroquine, and you have $1 billion over there. Get my point? That's why the Bible says, all flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof are like the flowers of the field. He said, the grass withers and the flower fades. When the breath of God blows upon it, he said, it's only the word of God that abides forever. Isaiah chapter 40. You can go and read it. Now, get that very clear. That's the principle. That anything on this earth can be destroyed easily. But let me tell you another thing. Everything that exists in the heavens will have manifestations on the earth. Are you getting my point? That is, if the thing really is existing in the heavens, then no matter the number of times you try to destroy the manifestation of the earth, what will happen there? It will just grow again. Lest I forget to say, let me quickly tell you what happened to Job. I finally found out was that he had treasure in heaven. So the material things he had on the earth was destroyed. The moment the trial was over, the treasure in heaven grew up again. I hope you are following what I'm going to say. It was while I was meditating, I realized that's what happened to Job. Read Job 29. He would describe the things that he... Look, Jesus was saying that you can lay up treasure in heaven. It's something you can use your hands to do. Let's get this clear. That as Christians, you know, we explained that we understand that the worlds, by faith, we know that the worlds were created by the word of God so that the things that we see, cash, investments, stocks, savings, everything, gold, houses, companies, were not made out of physical things. They were not made out of human intellect. They were made out of something that exists in the heavens. Do you get my point? So he said, seek only those things that are above. That's why Jesus warned the disciples, when you want to lay up treasure, make sure you lay it up somewhere where even if you're in the midst of an earthquake, you can reach out for it. That is, the thing will preserve the life of the person that has it. Those who lay up treasure on the earth, in fact, you see, it happens all the time. You see, the man is very rich. They suddenly diagnose him. He has 6 months to live. What does he have? He has a fibrillary astrocytoma. He's about to die. It's in his brain. It's gone. That is, I told you that M.K. Abela himself uttered a statement. They said when his first wife died, he opened his mouth and said, shame on money. That is, if money was what was needed to cure this woman, I had it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's important we understand this thing. That's why Jesus was emphasizing to his disciples, lay up treasure in heaven. Let me speak properly about that treasure in heaven. When it is there, that is what will sustain anything you are doing on the earth. If you really have it, it will drop in your head as an investment or an idea. You will use that idea, and that treasure in heaven is a spiritual force. Listen, the thing that will be created not out of the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. Are you getting my point? I was reading a story about this woman, this cosmetic woman, Mary Kay Ash. There was a book, and I was reading her story. In one of the chapters, it was not supposed to be a Christian book, just a business book. She had a chapter called You Can't Outgive God. And she told a story. I said, this, in fact, it was, you know, as if God just sent things in my direction because I had to teach today. She said that one day in her church, they had been raising money for some time to do some things. They had been raising money. And money was not raising. You know what I'm saying? They wanted to build a children's church. And money was not coming. Every day give. Every day gab. Every day goof. People will not just drop that money. Shani. So the pastor now said, okay, maybe this woman can speak and help us raise this money. I think God set her up for that thing. Oh, God. God set her up for that thing. She said, look, speak in church, pastor. I can't. The pastor said, no, you have to, please. He said, okay. When? The reason, he said, 6 weeks' time. He said, the man must have been wise, knowing that if they give you 6 weeks, you can't say no. He said, she didn't know what happened. 6 weeks came and when she did, she forgot. A day to the time, she remembered and said, tomorrow I've not prepared the speech. So he said, okay, when I come back, she and her husband went somewhere. When they came back, they fell asleep. I said, okay, we'll rise up early in the morning, forget. By the time they woke up, they were late for church. He said, God, I beg go. She was getting ready, applying makeup. God, I beg go. Waiting, I go talk. Then she said something that people say God speaks to them, that she has never had that experience. But that day she has something closest to it. That a thought dropped in her head very mightily that said, tell them you will match every dollar they give. Every Sunday they've been raising like $200, $300 at the most. So she went that day, spoke and said that, well, I want to tell you today. So the thing really troubled her. She didn't even tell her husband. Now, she married that man after she had made a lot of money. The man was also in business. She didn't tell the man that. the man had retired at that time. So when she got up there, was speaking. He said, I want you to know that every dollar you give today, he said, the way we have been going, is our grandchildren, he says, is your children's children that will finally enter that building. These children we are building it for, we're not getting. So today, I want to tell you, any dollar you give, I will match it with $1. And he said, look, I don't do credit business. It's against our principles. They don't do credit business. He said, so no pledges, nothing. I want cash or I want a check. Now, so the pastor rose up and said, well, you know, most people have made their checks after, so let's give them to the end of the day. He said, fine. She said, okay, 5 p.m., I want your cash or I want your check. She said, 5 p.m. came, she was at home. She didn't hear any call from church to tell them how much she now has to match. The night went. In the morning, what's going on? She felt that the money must be plenty. No, they called her and said, well, sorry, we didn't call you. The building committee people and the pastor said, we didn't call you because we thought that, you know, we have to have a meeting. He said, what's the problem? He said, first, we want you to know that we are releasing you from that pledge. You don't have to fulfill it. He said, what? The money is plenty. So in her mind, he said, okay, they got up $1,000. She thought in her mind. She said, tell me now. You know, the man was, eventually, he said, 10, 20. The man finally told her, $107,000. Get my point. They never used to raise more than 500. She said, you know, like, what? So the man reminded her, said, no, that's why we're saying that you don't have to pay. She said, I gave my word. I will pay. She dropped the phone. Where will I get $107,000? She was worth that much, but you know, we'll talk about that principle later. She didn't lay the money. It wasn't laid off somewhere. The money was there doing business. So she said, what she'll do is just go to her bank, negotiate a loan, and collect the money and give to them and pay it off from some other things. That same day, or was it that day or the next day, her son phoned, said, Mommy, why is it that everything you put your hand into turns into gold? She said, what are you talking about? Sometime before, the guy had come to her explaining that one of his friends is an expert in geology and he had developed this technique for prospecting for oil. So they were going to prospect in two areas, two wells, something like that, that they needed money. So they persuaded her to put money. So the son told her, Mommy, put money. I know my guy is a good guy. The day after she made this pledge in church and was going to redeem it, the boy called and said, everything you put your hands into turned to gold. That, for your information, those wells just broke through. And they are what they call gushers. That is, the oil is pumping out. And that for the first 1 month, your part of the profit is $100,000. First 1 month, not the whole investment. In the first month, your profit is $100,000. I'm telling you about treasure in heaven. This is a woman who started a company that if you are buying too much of their goods, they'll call you that. What are you doing with it? You seem to be buying plenty. That maybe you are not using it properly. You should reduce the amount of it. Let's just teach you so that you don't buy too much. I'm telling you. That is, their principle is give and give. Now get my point. I'm coming to something here. We are talking about what? Treasure in heaven. Look, all this give and shall give unto you, all those childish play that people play. I will listen to somebody, a man I respect a lot. On that point, I said, Pastor, I disagree with this one on this point. So anytime you are giving, you should tie it to something. I said, that is not, doesn't mean anything. Yes, I will tie it to something. I will tie it to the effect you have in the person's life. I will tie it to the effect I want it to have in the place where I'm giving it. That is, when that woman gave her money, she was tying it to the building of that church. She wasn't even thinking about returns. She said, have faith that you will get back. What? She said, she paid. In fact, before she even went to give them the money, God saw her heart and knew that she had given up this Isaac even before slaying him and sent her. Do you know, listen, if she had not been walking with God and obeying God, those wells won't produce nothing. I told you last time, one of those recent days we were preaching, that creation has not ceased though. God is still creating. Nobody told you he stopped creating. If he stopped, John would not have said he can from these stones raise up praises. If he had stopped, Jesus would not say these stones will cry out. I read the story of Meltari in the gentle breeze of Jesus. That one day his father, people said because he was preaching the gospel that there was a drought in their land. The father said, no problem, let us prove it. Whether my God is real or yours is real. Tomorrow all of you gather, I will dig a well here. The man had hardly put his spade to the floor and water began to gush out. And the man said, you can still go there and check. That was the day that spring appeared in their village. This century. But no, last century, we're in the early part of this century. No, last one. God is still creating. That is, God sent her gushers because she had what? Treasure in heaven. Someone was telling me a story about one man of God, great man in the US. He said, anytime you hear the man say, he doesn't say because he wants money. That God had given the man, I'm putting my own words now, gushers somewhere, that's always gushing out dollars to him. So he preaches because he wants to preach. Not trying to collect your money. I'm talking about treasure in heaven. That Christians have to understand, business is good. Investments are good. It's good to try to make money. We'll discuss the principle of faithfulness. We'll discuss the wealth as a ministry. We'll discuss all these things as we are going on. But we have to lay this foundation that what sustains both the wealth on the earth and the life of the person that owns it is what? Treasure that is laid up in heaven. But one thing I want you to know is this. Treasure is always bought. Did you hear what I said? Whether it's in heaven or on earth, you have to pay for it. The means of exchange might differ, but you have to pay for treasure, whether it's on earth or in heaven. If you read them, I think Matthew chapter 13. But I think that's why, look, Jesus explained, my boys, lay up your treasure in heaven. That is, no matter what happens on the earth, your treasure in heaven cannot be touched by rust. It cannot be touched by pests, moth, weevils, locusts, nothing. He said thieves can break in and steal it. That is, a bank cannot collapse on your money, the one that's in heaven. If it appears like somebody collapsed on the one on the earth, rejoice and give thanks, because God is about to pay you back double. Anytime you attract the physical manifestation of treasure that is in heaven, it doubles. It doubles. What do you think happened to Job? The treasure on the earth was the manifestation of the treasure in heaven. So the devil attacked it. When they finished, God said, you don't finish. Say yes. The thing doubled. God will always return to you twice. Double for all your troubles, you know? The way they say it. That's a fact. That is a fact. So that's why we have to lay our treasure where? In heaven. Young Icho told a story. Two of you, be careful there. Young Icho told a story about one of the men in his church. You know, all of you know David Young Icho, pastor of the Yodo Christian Center, largest congregation on earth. The man was a poor man. And by the ministration of the word and working with God and diligent business, he grew to be a very big man, trading in salt. And one day, I don't know why he did it anyway, but his warehouse wasn't too far away from a river, I guess. And then one day, the river overflowed its banks, went into his warehouse, where all his earthly goods were. And you know what happens when salt and water mixes. By the time the river went down, the bags were still there, but the salt was gone. Young Icho said, when he heard, he said, Baba, God in heaven, what shall I do? What will I tell this man? You know, he had to pull himself together to go and see the man. And when he got there, he expected to see the man with his head bent down. What has happened to me? What did I do? He saw the man there relaxing and rejoicing. Young Icho looked at him like, I thought they said, he said, yes. But don't forget, Pastor, I didn't have anything before. Where this one came from, more can come from there. What's the problem? Even Pastor was encouraged. That is. Of course, more came from the treasure that was in heaven. I hope you are following what I'm saying. It's important we get this clear. So that you will stop being afraid. You know, I hear it all the time that people say, if I knew what you people are knowing now, that time. Listen, if you knew it that time, and you didn't have treasure in heaven, all your efforts would have been frustrated. So it's good you did not know it, so that at least you have some peace of mind and you are blaming ignorance. And you have somebody to blame. You know, me, I'm never moved by all those things. 15 years ago, if I had done it, the reason you did not do it, let me tell you something. Wisdom is a gift of God. It's one of those manifestations of treasure in heaven. The fact that you didn't know it was because you didn't have treasure in heaven. Because if you did, it will look, it manifests in diverse ways. It will manifest as a tangible wisdom in your heart that will produce physical things for you. So don't lament that they didn't tell me. They wanted to tell you, but you didn't have treasure to transport them to the place. I hope you are following what I'm going to say. And that's why I want us to lay our emphasis. This issue of treasure in heaven. But like I said, treasure is always paid for. It's never free. You know, I told you something once, that people say salvation is free. I said, I don't know who preached that gospel to them. That is not true. Salvation, na lie, it's not free. At all. Eh? Who told you it's free? And I don't mean that Jesus paid for it. I know he paid for you. You have to pay your own. We don't have time to explain that thing in details. But listen to me, it's not free. It's not free. You will get to a point, God will ask you. Like Paul. Paul said, all these things, he said, I suffered the loss of these things. That was payment for salvation. He said, are you saying salvation is by works? No. I'm just saying that faith without works is dead. That the faith you claim to have must be tested. And during that test, you pay your own price for your salvation. I didn't understand what Paul was saying. He said, I'm making up for what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. I thought that, Paul, you must be confused. Jesus finished everything. Paul knew what he was saying. I was the one that knew nothing. I hope you're following what I'm going to say. So you see, that's the way it is with treasure. God said, come and buy without money and without, what did he say again? He said, oh, you that are thirsty, you that are hungry. He said, come and buy bread. He said, without money or something like this. He now said, why do you spend your money for that which does not satisfy? Let me ask you a question. He said, come and buy without money, but you still have to buy with something. He didn't say, come and take. Did he say that? You must still buy. Listen, treasure can be laid in heaven, but you got to pay something. That's why I told the story. I said it's a good place to link it. What you are doing, you see, there are different ways you pay. Anyway, we'll see some things. Let's just open to Matthew chapter 13. And one thing you should bear in mind is that God has given everybody something with which he will buy his treasure in heaven. We lay too much emphasis on physical things. People will spend their time. You go for investment training, everything. You will listen and listen and listen. Or even God gives you your seed with which you are supposed to buy treasure in heaven. You use to buy treasure on the earth. Listen, as a child of God, as a disciple of the kingdom, you have to bear it in mind. When money starts rolling out to you, we'll talk about that later, about the fact that you will be fruitful and multiply. You are not just fruitful. What do? You multiply after being fruitful. That is, your seed that is in the fruit must go forth, bear more fruit, so that all of them put together will be called multiplication. But don't ever forget that before you put treasure down on the earth, there must be treasure in heaven. And the treasure on the earth will only be a manifestation of that's in heaven. I hope you are following me. So that we don't get carried away. I told you that balance is the key to life. We have to balance it. That first, that's why we are disciples, we are sons of the kingdom. That's why we are men of faith. We know by faith that spiritual things are more important. That the kingdoms, in fact, I have to read this. No, well, you know where it is. Let me just quote it off head. Psalm 75, from verse 6 to 7. It said, promotion does not come from the east or the west or from the south. It said, but God is judge. Notice I didn't say it does not come from the north, because it comes from the north. Do you get my point? Because he said that Mount Zion on the northern side is the city of the great king. That's from the place from where God commands the blessings. Do you understand my point? Now he said, does not come from the east or the west or from the south. He said, but God is judge. He lifts up one and he brings down another. That is, God will cause economic situations to cooperate to lift you up when he wants to lift you up. Promotion does not come from the east or the west, meaning that it is not dependent upon your surrounding circumstances. Are you getting my point? It's not dependent on that. Promotion does not come from the south, means that it's not dependent upon where you're coming from. Who your father is, the passport you carry, the course you studied in school, the grade you made in that course. He said that's not the source of promotion. That promotion is purely by the mercies of God. That God lifts up one and brings out another. He said God is judge, meaning that God has his reason for doing things. He has a reason why he will bring up one. He has a reason why he will put down another. We have to get that very clear. You understand what I'm saying? And that's why as Christians we have to lay up our treasure. Jesus emphasized it. He told somebody, and when the rich young boy came to him, the young ruler, he said that, what must I do that I might have eternal life? He said, you know the law, keep it now. He said, I have kept everything since I was a young boy. He said, one thing you still lack. Now, go and sell all that you have. Then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. That is, you buy this treasure, it's not free. Are you getting my point? Price for each person differs. But let me tell you, God has given everybody what he or she will use to buy the treasure. Everybody has to buy it. Matthew chapter 13. If we don't finish today, we'll continue next time. But I don't want to keep us for much longer. He said, the king, verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. From joy over it, he said, he goes and sells everything that he has and buys that field. At this point, if you don't have the book, I wrote it, okay? But I would like you to read it, The Blessing. It was while I was meditating, I said, that's just what we're talking about. Go and read it. There's a chapter there called More Blessings. You see how people acquire treasure in heaven. Well, I don't. Time is really going. Okay, good. I'm even happy time is going because I just remembered. I didn't plan really to talk about how to lay out treasure in heaven today. Yes, I just realized that. I knew I wouldn't have the time. It will come down further down the line. I just wanted to say it to lay a foundation so that no matter what we say after, if I talk about using money wisely, you will understand that I'm not talking about worldly wisdom. And even if it appears that we are talking about common wisdom, I assume you know that wisdom is a gift of God. When Elijah was speaking to Job, he explained that no one says, where is God my maker? Who teaches us to be wiser than the beast of the field? That is, you will not be wiser than an animal if God did not give you wisdom. Look, sometimes you sit down and say, why is this person behaving foolishly? It's because God withdrew wisdom from him. Let me tell you what, some things that you think are just clear and reasonable, it's because you have the wisdom to know they are clear and reasonable. If you didn't have that wisdom, look, you will behave very stupidly. And you only appear stupid to those who have it. Your mates who are as foolish as you all think you are doing well. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You don't see where people sit down and be deceiving themselves? All of them are just fooling themselves. It's only you that can see more than them. I don't know what Staphylococcus aureus before this woman came, Dora Kunle. Oh, you never used to see her on television and papers where every guy in town is a curer of Staphylococcus aureus, which causes everything. You and I who study some medicine, who have some sense, know that Staphylococcus aureus causes very, very few things. They tell you that if your head is going round and round, it's Staphylococcus aureus. If your leg is doing boom, 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 it's Staphylococcus aureus. And all of them agree, the doctor, the patient agree and fool themselves. Thank God for Dora Kunle, who banned NBC from advertising such nonsense. Wisdom, listen, is a gift of God. Anyway, where was it? Where were we? Matthew chapter, okay, I was reading something now. Okay. It said, the man found and hid it. That is back where he found it. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. What he was buying was a treasure hidden in the field. But first, he had to sell all that he had. Look, I believe Jesus had a reason for saying it like this because he told the rich young ruler, he said, sell all you have and give to the poor, then you will have treasure in heaven. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Listen, you will pay for the treasure. It's not free. You will pay for it. It's not free. Anyway, let's just continue reading. We really have to stop about this time. All right. But if we don't finish now, I don't know. Maybe next time. I didn't plan to be next time anyway. Another time we'll come back to it. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's what I wanted to understand. I want to pick up from there. The rich young ruler was told, sell all that you have. Give to the poor. When you are giving, then you are paying for treasure in heaven. He was saying, Go and read Job 29. You will see how Job acquired treasure in heaven. He said, the words, the blessing of him that was about to perish was poured upon me. Because the cause I didn't have any idea about, I sought it out. What didn't concern me? He said, I defended the orphan. I defended the widow. You know, for time's sake, well, is it time's sake or for circumstances' sake? I think we should just stop at this time. Well, by God's mercies, we'll continue from then next time.